Welcome to the Go Hack Something podcast, where education and technology meet. I'm your host, Will Bushy, author of Wired for Coding, and with me always is Ross Wickman. How you doing today, Ross?
I'm doing great. It's been a hectic week. I've had quite a few projects in the hopper, and you ever have one of those days, Will, where you're working on something and you totally jack it up, and it can go one of two directions. One is you make it even worse, and you go down this terrible rabbit hole of trying to fix something, or you get very, very lucky, and before you go over the ledge of making it worse, you fix it, and everything is just completely fine. I had that day today and totally saved my bacon, so it could have gone a lot worse.
Good. So it tipped over on the good side.
Well, it tipped over real bad right away, but I flipped it back over before it stayed tipped over too long. So working with some authentication and linking a couple apps by a single vendor together and trying to save a few hundred bucks, and I got really lucky. But in the interim, I locked everybody out for about an hour while I was fixing it. So we're good.
How about you? What do you use a coffee break?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So how about you? What do you been? What do you got going on this last week or so?
Tomorrow, I'm actually going to be speaking over at New Tech High, which is actually where my kids go to school, and they're doing something they call Dream Big. It's kind of the mantra for the semester. Actually, it might be for the entire year. But as you know, we've got this Arch of Dreams that they're building downtown, and the designer of that was in at the beginning of the school year, and he was talking about, you know, thinking big and dreaming big. And so that's kind of been one of the things that they've pulled through throughout the year. And they've invited different community partners to come in and kind of talk and maybe a little bit motivate the kids. So I'm going to go in tomorrow and talk about some of the things that I've done over the years around technology. Kids are always interested in that anyway, but I'll probably tie in some of the events that we run here in town too.
I was just going to ask about that. So like, you have a lot of potential things that have been going on, things that will be going on, and probably bring some of that big or dream big aspect to some opportunities coming up that might be available.
Yeah. Well, and as we get into the podcast here too, on different episodes, I'll talk about some of the past events that I've run. But they almost always start the same. I've got some crazy idea. Let's see if this works. Some of them do, some of them don't.
Well, I think a lot of what you've been doing is, I mean, like you said, you're awfully busy. You got a lot of rods in the fire at any given time. And just as I watch, I think a lot of the events that you're putting forward all serve a very good purpose, and they help just kind of what we're trying to do right here, help get youngsters and other people interested in technology and throwing things together. So I think not only myself, but others be interested in diving into the details of those events. So look forward to it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Absolutely. So today I thought we'd talk about an event that I did a couple of weeks ago. It was something called the Women in Science event here in Sioux Falls. I don't know a lot of the details on how it got started. Talking to one of the founders there, it sounded like it's been going for about 10 years. And I know they do a couple of them around the state. This happened to be the one here in Sioux Falls. I have not done it before. This was my first time, so I wasn't even 100% sure what to expect. When they asked me to come and talk, they said they wanted more of a hands-on type of activity for the kids. And I did it. I confirmed with them. I'm like, you know, I'm not a woman, right? Since it's women in science. They said, no, I got it. That's good. But it was funny. My daughter did it last year. And so I asked her, it's like, were there any guys presenting? And she said, no, they were all women. So I'm like, all right. That'll be fun. But I think, as far as I could tell, I was the only guy that was invited out. So I don't know exactly what it was that it caught their eye that I thought would be fun to have me come.
I was going to say, that goes back to all the events and things that you have going on and information you're sharing either on social media or through the connections that you have. Like, you got a lot going on. Obviously, some of the things that you've been working on, some of the little gizmos and gadgets you've been sharing online spark some attention for them to want to invite you to come and probably work with it a little bit.
Yeah, it was a really neat event. They had, I think it was somewhere around 600 girls total, and they had it split into about 20 to 30 girls at a time, and they were broken out by school as well. And then each school, some of the bigger schools had multiple groups. And then I had about six girls from six different schools, or groups of girls from six different schools, about 130 total. I didn't do an exact count, but there were a couple slightly smaller schools and then a couple really large schools. But it was very interesting. I didn't know exactly what to expect going into it. And I'm starting to do some events that we're going to do more around electronics. And so I wanted to kind of try out some of the material just to see, because I haven't done that before. So this was a perfect opportunity. There were 25-minute blocks, which is super, super short to try to do something with. But I have a couple of different things with LEDs, and I know you've seen these spots. I've just got some simple LEDs and some little coin cell batteries and a magnet. And I thought, well, kids always enjoy that. And so that was the first project that we did. I had a whole bunch of LEDs on each of the tables, and the girls had to find the one that blinks and then put it over the battery, and then find which one blinked, but then also get the LEDs the right direction. Surprisingly, I explained it, showed them, like, it goes this way. If you turn it on backwards, it's not going to light because the diode only conducts one direction. In every single class, I had at least a couple of girls like, mine's broken. I'm like, no, it's backwards. You got to turn it around. But once they figured it out, they thought that was, kind of neat. I mean, it's a super simple little trick, but it's just something that kids don't really see a whole lot. And these were all 8th grade girls, so they were just largely at the end of their 8th grade, getting ready to start high school next year. And I was just kind of surprised at how little knowledge they had of electronics as a whole.
You would have suspect that they wouldn't have any. I mean, I remember back in 6th, 7th, 8th grade science fair type of things, like we were tearing apart little diodes and like running, like taking little motors from RC race cars and putting them on 9-volt batteries type of thing and switching them, and the motor switch spins the other direction. Like we had that experience. That, I mean, it's minimal experience, but something to kind of have a baseline. And I'm starting to guess that things like that are actually starting to kind of drift to the back of the line from a curriculum standpoint. Like those types of things don't really go on in schools probably as nearly as much as they used to.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I can't get a straight answer from my kids about what they learn and when they learn it in science. I know my kids are both in high school now, and they're diving deeper into it through physics and chemistry. But I think leading up to that, I don't know that there's really been a lot with electronics. I'm with you. I remember doing even simple things in science class where we had lights with a 9-volt battery that you could light up. Granted, what we can do now, I stand, I was just so much better. But during this event, I actually planned three different activities. Again, way overplanned it. My standard norm. Like, oh yeah, these kids can easily hook up a 555 timer. Only two or three resistors and one capacitor and an LED light. And if we get really fancy, we can put a second LED light in. But yeah, we didn't even come close to that. The first one, I got through the first two sections, and we were completely out of time.
Well, that's. I mean that speaks to not necessarily the fact that the expectation was that they should be able to do this. I mean, they very well maybe should be able to do it, but the fact is that, well, I mean, it's nobody's fault, but whose situation is it to make
Yeah.
it, or whose responsibility is it to like demonstrate that like these are the
Yeah.
types of things that we're losing experience in, trades, electrician, things like that, and then here we are. This is proof positive in living color that these things are actually really difficult now, but they're difficult to get started. But once we're in them, that's where like the fun and the education can grow, and you can probably get to a point where some of those other tests or projects that you had planned for the day would have been a little bit more accessible or easy to accomplish.
Yeah, well, it was 25 minutes, and I know that's always so tough to get anything done in 25 minutes. But again, it's one of those things where I knew I probably had twice as much material as what I was going to get through. But it was great to be able to see and start to play with some of the curriculum that we've got. The other thing that I really screwed up on is I needed some power to run these LEDs. I just happen to have a whole bunch of these 18650 cells, so they're these guys. They look exactly like a, well, just at first glance, they look like a AA battery, but they're actually a little bit larger. These are the same cells. These got popular through Tesla. These are the same cells that are in the Tesla cars. Actually, here's a trivia question for you, Ross. How many of these are in your standard Tesla car?
I don't know, that probably 1,000 or something.
Yeah, I asked that to all the girls too. Surprisingly, they all knew what a Tesla car was. But nobody even came, I mean, they were just guessing all over the place. But I looked it up beforehand, and there's around 6,800 of those
Wow.
cells
Holy
in the
cow.
Tesla car.
The Tesla car, that's a, I don't even ne necessarily know from a kilowatt hour standpoint. I think they're like 300 kilowatt hours or
Yeah, that I don't know. I just know that's the only trivia fact I know about a Tesla car.
No.
With these batteries, I did not get out of my Tesla, despite what people might be thinking. I got these out of old laptop batteries, battery packs, And some of them have switched now to the flat kind of packs, if you will. But the older ones that had the, well, they still make them now too, but a lot of the older ones were just these cells, and they would have between three and six of these 18650 cells in them. And as part of a different event that I'm hosting this summer, I needed some battery packs. I'm going to make, you've probably seen these single cell ones that you could potentially use to charge your cell phone that have a little charger port on them. And then you can plug your laptop, or I'm sorry, your cell phone or something. Well, I needed some of those to power some Arduinos this summer. And so I was building a bunch of them, and I thought, well, all right, I need some power. So I'm going to just go ahead and use these 18650 cells. And then I've got a whole bunch of these little tiny magnets. They don't cost anything. And so I'll be able to use these magnets to hold the wires on, and then we can use that as a little power source. Well, now I did also know that the wires that I'm going to be using are quite thin. They're just some hookup wires for just your standard breadboards. And because these were girls, we've done a lot of events with girls. And usually if you, a group of girls that age, if you say, hey, don't do X, Y, and Z, they don't. It's just kind of been a normal. If it's a group of boys, and you would never want to say that. You would never want to say, whatever you do, boys, don't cross the two leads across the cell of the battery, because it will catch fire. Because every single wire you have will now be caught on fire. But I didn't really think, a bunch of girls, I've had good luck planning what not to do, and they followed the instructions. And I don't know that they were doing it on purpose, but we fried about 20 wires throughout those classes. Now, if you've ever smoked one of those wires, you'll know it produces a lot of smoke very quickly. And the girls would jump out of their seat when it would happen, because it would just burst into flames. I mean, this is just far too much energy. So bad on my part. I definitely shouldn't have used those 18650 cells. Just simply too much power for what we were trying to do. But, lesson learned. I've got a bag somewhere here on my desk. All the burnt leads, I went ahead and kept them. I thought they'd be a good demonstration in the future for how to not wire up your Arduino. But I was really surprised also, once one of the girls did it, then they were like the fear of death. I don't want that to happen to me. but I did have a couple girls that thought it was pretty funny, and definitely shorted them out on their own. The other thing that I noticed is I was using these little tiny, I get these little mini breadboards. I think they're about 170. Points on them. They're kind of cute for working through really, really small circuits. And I did explain how those breadboards work. There's five pins in a row, and they're all connected. So you can think of them as, you're crossing those wires together. And that way you can kind of connect things together just by pushing them into the same column. Well, I explained that multiple times. But one of the other things that I didn't, it just wasn't clicking with some of the girls, was they would short the battery out by accident by just plugging them into the breadboard incorrectly. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot just through this quick 25-minute demo, kind of where kids that age can kind of pick up on electronics. I don't know, have you had any experience working with any of the simple electronics like that?
Not anything recently. It was long, long time ago. I'd be switching up different circuit boards in, again, RC cars, or putting, fixing a tape deck a long time ago. Yeah, definitely frying some cables, getting some solder in the wrong places across the board. I love that. I can't say that I really love that smell, but I love what that smell really means, and that's getting in trial and error, breaking things, and then trying to fix things. What I think is really funny is, like you said, if you told boys to not do this, you can almost guarantee that they're going to do it. So the whole trial and error aspect, you had a few people attempt to do that. What you did learn is basically, you fried one cable per minute on average, and if you didn't get started right away, that's so kind of bounce back to the previous episode, the whole trial and error and logical process thinking. Like, well, yeah, you said you learned a lot. Now you know what to do moving forward next time when you have to teach a room full of, over 100 girls, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it went really, really fast. And as part of the whole activity, we had a couple schools cancel because there was a giant blizzard the day before. In fact, they canceled school in Sioux Falls, which they almost never do the day before. So even leading into it, some of the slightly more rural schools ended up canceling at the last minute. So we ended up, a lot of kind of schedule shift around, but it ended up working out really well. The other thing that I noticed, because this event took place in Sioux Falls, but it included a lot of our kind of surrounding school districts. Some of them were about 40 miles away, which I was impressed that they came down to Sioux Falls just for this one day activity. But it was an interesting opportunity to kind of see how the what I would consider a little bit more of the rural schools versus the Sioux Falls schools. And I wasn't sure if we were going to see a big difference in how they tackled the project. But honestly, you couldn't even tell. I mean, there was no way. They didn't tell you which school they were from. They all seemed to come at about the same skill level when it came to electronics, which kind of wasn't a lot. But I also just wasn't sure because I haven't done a lot of things outside of Sioux Falls.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, it's hard to tell if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Sometimes you would expect like some of the more agricultural type schools with like FFA and things like that, you have people in those groups that have a little bit more experience with those things. Even if it wasn't done in school,
Right.
just being more out kind of the farm type environment, have a little bit more experience with that. So even that type of knowledge isn't porting into events like this right now.
No, absolutely. And it was interesting just to get the diversity of the kids too, because a lot of times the events that we run or that we host, you just see 15 kids total or maximum throughout the whole event. So this was a great opportunity to just see a huge diverse amount of girls come through very, very quick, pick something up, and then kind of move on. Now, I know a lot of the purpose of the event was trying to get more girls involved in science and in technology. So most of the other speakers were people, and they were all women. I was the only
Yeah,
guy
right.
there, that were in some of these fields. So they had like nurses, there were some VSU professors that came down. We're talking about some forensic type activities that they teach. And I didn't get a chance to see a lot of the other classes. So unfortunately, it was because I was busy the entire time. I wasn't able to go and snoop around to see what other things they were learning.
So that was going to be one of my questions, or follow-up question was like, what was the general feel after your session, even though it was short-lived from a time frame standpoint? Like, what was the general feel for interest, like follow-on interest, like a lot of questions after the fact, or were they everybody that was involved in your projects was kind of like, oh, okay, that was great, and they were done with it, or were those like more follow-up questions, like wanting to learn more?
Unfortunately, it was very, very tight on time. So when we ended, they pretty much needed to quickly get up and move on to the next one. So I didn't get a ton of time to interact, but there were a few instances where there was just a little bit of time in between or talking to some of the teachers that were kind of chaperoning them around. They seemed to be a lot more interested in some of the projects that I'm doing than the girls themselves. There were definitely a few girls that were into it and very interested in learning more around electronics. But I would say most of the girls just thought it was interesting. They learned something real quick. It was very, very hands-on. They got to probably touch some electronic components that they had no idea how they worked, and move on. But I don't know. It seemed like they were quite engaged while they were there, but that's always been our struggle is how do you keep that moving once they leave the class? How do you give them something to tie back to and continue to learn?
Yeah, and that's really good because I feel overall, I mean, it's not just in like this type of technology with hands-on physical hardware and electronics where women are kind of underrepresented, but it's basically across technology in all aspects. So getting more and more involvement, we're seeing that like even in my full-time employment, we're getting more and more interest from individuals coming out of school with STEM education backgrounds, but not necessarily computer science or cloud technology backgrounds, but are really, really interested in it. And being able to port that type of knowledge or get familiar with technology based on what they've been learning throughout their entire education, it's really good to see more and more of that interest, or that interest at least starting to spark and getting it started really, really young. I don't feel like there's really too early of a time to get started, really.
No, there definitely isn't. But the other thing too about just what I presented is I had a slide PowerPoint too that I kind of walked through and I had the instructions on, and I filled it with cat giphies. So I had that going for me.
That really got the attention, I'm sure.
Exactly, and that's one of the things I've learned over the years is especially when you get to this age, I mean, you need to have something to quickly draw them in. So my first slide, I don't know if you've seen this Giphy, but it's a picture of this kitten flying across the air, the screen, and then behind it is just all explosion, like this cat is just narrowly escaping this giant explosion. So the girls all thought that was pretty cool. So the other thing I did, and I always do these things when I have these types of events, is I like to have somebody help me out. But I know you were busy that day, a few other people that were interested but couldn't get off work or tied up with some other meetings. So I did the next best thing, which is I pulled my own daughter out of school so she could come help.
Well, that's there's no better education in my mind than hands-on experience. You know, if I had the opportunity when I was that age in school to be able to go and do things like that, I feel like that would have been the type of education that I really wanted. Not knocking my teachers, but I think that's the way, like, I feel like I had a good undergraduate or high school education. Everything was all fine and dandy. But if I would have had the opportunity to go out and do more hands-on things like this, I think that the application of that is what's really important. What was really the driving factor for school attendance back when I was in middle school and high school was like perfect attendance. That was the thing. And, you know, like, you didn't want to miss school to be sick or anything else. It was frowned upon. Now, like, I kind of want to take a day, a month or whatever, and take my son on a personal field trip and go play with some electronics. I feel like that's the best way to learn. So I bet your daughter had a very good time, learned quite a bit in the process.
Yeah, no, she's a great assistant at those types of activities. She's done all of these things before, and she really has a passion for electronics and software. And she's been taking, well, my stuff. Let's be honest. She keeps pilfering stuff off of my desk, and like, she's got an Arduino and some of those LED strips, and so she keeps building new light shows and taking them to school and showing her friends. And it was funny, the other day she says, "Yeah, I might have something wrong because the unit got so hot I couldn't touch it. So maybe we should look at that before I burn the school down." But yeah, she was a great assistant to just come out and help out, especially because these girls didn't have any experience. Even the simple things of trying to get set up. Oh, and I guess I didn't even explain this at the very beginning, but I had three projects. The first project was the LED over a coin cell battery. The second project is I had on that breadboard just a little impulse switch, single throw, double, or single pull, double throw. And so you could have a common in there, and then you can have an LED plugged in so that it's always on. And then when you push the button, the other LED turns on, and then the first LED turns off. So real simple switch. It just really is a switch and two LEDs and a resistor and a battery, nothing complicated. But this is something that she understood extremely well. So as I'm trying to explain how to not short two wires out on the breadboard, she was able to jump in and show some of the girls how to do it as well. So she does help out a lot on these events. But you know, to your point about cutting, I shouldn't say cutting class, but doing something different.
Yeah, there you go.
Both of my kids in general, I think there's 10 days that you can miss per year before you kind of get in trouble. They usually get really, really close to that every year. So she's helped out a number of times already this year, just different events that I've done. I did earlier in towards the beginning of the school year, at another middle school in town, I go and did that was a short, like a 45-minute block around teaching, just quickly teaching some kids how to build some video games. And she always goes and helps out whenever I do that as well. She ends up missing half a day of school. But I agree, these are things that get her a completely different experience, you know, much more on the explanation side rather than just doing it. As everybody knows, if you're going to learn something really well and you're able to teach it, that's how you can really reinforce that back on yourself, that you understand and know the material.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the main thing. Teaching it and then helping other people teach it really helps you absorb everything that you've learned. Because normally when you're just doing something, some of it comes secondhand or whatever. You don't really realize what you're doing. But then when you're explaining it, you can really kind of map out the processes and the logical thinking behind why some of these things work, or the reasons why certain things work in the manner that they do. So yeah, there's really good experience in that. One of the biggest things that I'm the most terrible at is explaining or training on processes. I know there's that saying, those who can't do teach and those who can't teach do. I can't teach, so I do, and I feel like I'm good at it, but there are times when I need to teach and I'm not the best at it. Yeah. More experience early on would have definitely been a benefit on my behalf.
Yeah, well, I pride myself as not being a good teacher. I like to say I'm the bad uncle, where I'm going to come in, I'm going to show you how to not do things correctly, and then leave.
Potentially burn down a school.
Yeah, you know, these things happen. It's not my fault that the wires got shorted. But this was a really good event. I mean, I think we need more of these types of events. And I know we've got them here, and I don't know a lot about what the reach is in some of the other communities. But I just thought it was really cool. And I knew a little bit about it before starting and helping out this year, mostly just from a parent's perspective. But I would like to see more and more of these get together and kind of, and I know this one was geared towards girls, but I think we also need to focus on getting more of the boys involved, getting them interested in technology as well. I know it's kind of this misconception that they've got more opportunities, which I don't think is true at all. I think a lot of the girls maybe just are choosing not to do it because they just don't know.
Right.
Their minds are just in other areas. I don't think there's anywhere where they're saying, girls, you stop here. You're not allowed in this room because we're going to do boy things. But there is just this perception that isn't being exposed. And I think the big thing is, and this is what the Women in Science is about, how do we at least expose the girls to know these things even exist? So I like to think that, out of those 130 plus girls, at least one or two of them could go back and say, hey, I learned something interesting about electronics that I just simply didn't know. And maybe we'll see them again in the future on some of our camps that we're running. But I do think, we talked about this earlier and we talked about it on the other podcast as well, is, we need to introduce this type of technology, super early in the schools. So these were eighth grade girls. You could have definitely done it younger, especially what I was producing from a lesson plan standpoint. The other big thing, and I'm real big about this, is I want to see that hands-on. I want to demystify it. I don't want it to be scary. And at the very, very beginning of my presentation, like literally after I made a joke about my beard, because I have a picture of myself up on the screen, and I'm saying that's what I look like without a beard because I'm shaved. The first thing I did, and I said, so who wants to blow up an LED? And everybody's like, what? Like, come on, it probably isn't going to blow up that hard. And I had a girl, or in some cases, a couple of girls come up, and I just had this little tiny battery pack of 218-650s, and I had them hold an old LED and just short it out over the two leads. Now, I don't know if you've ever done that, but it doesn't actually do anything. I mean, it just goes from yellow. It's supposed to be yellow. It just turns red and it burns out. And it goes pretty quick. And if you hold on there for too long, there's enough current in there, those leads will get kind of hot. You're not going to burn yourself, but you're going to be, well, that's interesting. I didn't expect that to be warm. So I would play this up. I'm like, well, last girl got burnt a little bit, now you'll be fine. I think we're good. We work the bugs out. But you get them to try something that maybe they think is not right or against the norm. And so, and I like to try to do nothing but like that. I mean, how do we get somebody to just jump in and not be scared about it? And sure enough, you put the LED on it and nothing bad happens. Nobody got burnt. Nothing blew up. Glass didn't shoot across the room. And the other thing is when they did accidentally or on purpose short out the wires, it's not a big deal. It's like, hey, no big deal. I got a whole bag of wires right here. We can short them out all day long. You're not going to technically hurt anything. Let's make sure that we understand why it caught fire. But again, it's just that so often we hear the you can't do that because it might break, or you're using it incorrectly. And I like to try to break that as part of it.
Yeah, trial and error. The stigma behind doing something and messing something up, or don't do that, or make sure you know what you're doing before you
Right.
do that. That kind of takes the fun learning aspect out of it. So as long as you put on the table, like, hey, something bad might happen, but no matter what, however bad it is, it
I've
won't
got
be
Band-Aids.
that terrible. Yeah, exactly. I got Band-Aids, I got replacement LEDs. Let's try to have a little bit of fun here, and learn
Yeah.
what's going on for
Yeah.
sure.
Well, excellent. Well, then the kind of the last thing is just, what can kids, not necessarily specifically girls, but I mean, how can we get more kids interested in kind of trying some of these electronics? And it really honestly doesn't need to be expensive. I bought enough supplies to host about 30 girls, and I didn't have a lot of the supplies before I committed to doing this, just because I was doing something a little bit different than what we've taught in the past. And the whole expense to be able to teach 30 girls, I planned for three activities and only got through two of them. So you figure that's probably an hour's worth of material of girls that have never done this before. My whole all-in expenses were way less than $50. I didn't even run the numbers, but it was probably 35, maybe $40. So we're not talking anything super expensive. You can buy the breadboards for almost little times nothing. And actually, surprisingly, the most expensive component of what I had were these little magnets. I've got just these little tiny magnets that I stick on those cells. For some reason, these are the most expensive piece, but I think they're the coolest, so I don't mind spending the few cents a piece on them. I think they're like 12 cents a piece.
That's Yeah.
But it doesn't need to be anything overly complicated. We can take a 9-volt battery, or you know, a couple cell AA cell batteries and an LED and a resistor, and we can build these circuits. And the switches that I used, I don't have any handy here, but the little tiny toggle switches that I used on that second activity, you can buy an entire bag of them off eBay of 20 for 99 cents. And they're really neat. Wow. And the kids actually thought those were pretty cool. And I didn't know how many kids were going to be there. If I were to do it again, what I would probably do is have something that they could all take home, whether it's the coin cell battery and the LED, or honestly, even the little toggle switch. They thought that was pretty cool. They just never had seen a switch. Now, they've pushed thousands of these switches over the years inside components or devices, but they had never actually seen a raw switch. So that was kind of neat as well.
Yeah, I mean, when you get an opportunity to buy some of these things in bulk, you could probably you could spend the whole afternoon burning out little LEDs or burning wires. And yeah, like you said, barely run through $30, $40 worth of equipment. Yep. So, I mean, it's very inexpensive. There's really no excuse to not really get started with some of these basic pieces of hardware, and just starting to understand how things work. And then it grows from there. You could probably string them together to see how long it takes to get to the point where the last LED doesn't light up as bright as the first one or something. There's so many different things you can experiment with just the very basic things, like you stated. So yeah, I mean, one of the takeaways or lessons learned is maybe from an inexpensive standpoint, little to-go packs to kind of really get the kids to take something home and play with next time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you make a good point too, because one of the things that I had is every little pack that I created for the kids to use during the event, I put three different LEDs in, different colored LEDs, and some of them have a much higher voltage requirement, the purples and the blues do, than the reds. And so if you plug in on those coin cell batteries, of course, I didn't tell them to do this, but a lot of them figured out, hey, I can put two or three LEDs on the same battery and they'll all light. Well, it turns out if you get one of those blue or the purple ones, it won't light because the current draw is just not there for the other ones. So they even figured that out on their own. They're like, hey, I got a bad LED. It's like, well, no, actually, if you take one of those other LEDs off, it'll light up just fine. So yeah. Lots of great learning experience with, like you said, just really a buck a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, this is a pretty good organization. Now, I didn't know specifically of this organization here in Sioux Falls. I knew of organizations that kind of got young people together, not necessarily one specifically geared to women in science, but this is, it looks like it's been around for a little while. So this is a great place to reach out to and contact people if your daughters or your children are interested. I mean, the whole goal of this podcast is to share these types of organizations, to get your children involved, and also to help get children involved through the things that we talk about here. So, I mean, this was just a really good example of one of the ways to get children started. What is one final maybe follow-up or takeaway on really where we could get children started with not being so scary? I mean, it might not be scary for kids, but for parents, I mean, some of these things could be scary for parents. We're talking about burning down schools and things like that. What would be a first step in this aspect?
Yeah. Well, if your kids are interested in electronics, there's just so many resources online today. It's insane. Even if you go to Amazon, and everybody in general can shop at Amazon, if you look for an Arduino starter kit, there's thousands of them to choose from. If you go with one that's in that, say, $10 to $15 range, and I know there's not going to be that many in that range, but that'll be a good starting point. That's going to get you microcontrollers and get you some wires, some LEDs, some resistors. And don't hesitate to burn those LEDs out. You can turn right around and buy an entire bag of 100 of them for a buck. I know when I was a kid, starting in electronics, LEDs were expensive. They were a couple bucks a piece. And so you were, if you burnt one out, it was just catastrophic. It's like, oh man, that's, I can't afford another one. But anymore, I mean, these are, when I was done, I just had everything in a big box of all the different components. And I'm just like, I should just dump this in the garbage rather than try to sort it back out, because I have a dollar's worth of parts in here. But of course I didn't. I went through and I spent 20 minutes pulling every resistor out, classifying it, figuring out what each color of the LEDs were, putting them back in the containers. But they're honestly, they're just so cheap that there's no excuse not to do it.
Well, that's good. know, we'll have a lot more resources and links to those types of starter kits and things like that in the future. But yeah, that's really what it would take to get started. And the whole piece to that is once you have it, like you start collecting these things and you can piece together from the different kits to build one brand new kit moving forward. So you're not out anything. If you get a 5-piece kit and you ruin 4 of the 5 pieces, that last piece can get used in the next kit that you purchase too. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, excellent. Well, that was the big event that I did here a couple weeks ago. I kind of wanted to update everybody on. So thanks for joining us today. If you haven't left a review on Apple, we'd love to have a big 5-star review. Although, I don't know, is that even possible yet, Ross?
Well, not at this moment, but by the time anybody hears this, they'll be able to go out and leave us a nice 5-star review. Tell us what they want to hear, what they don't want to hear. Help get our podcast viewed by more and more people so we can help get more people involved with technology.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and as always, if you want to join us on the conversation on Facebook, you can go ahead and search for Go Hack Something, or you can always find a link on our webpage at gohacksomething.com. To subscribe to this podcast, if you haven't already, go ahead and just search Go Hack Something wherever you get your podcast, or head over to the gohacksomething.com, and we'll have all the links for you there as well. So with that, say goodbye to everybody. Thanks for joining us, Ross.
Yeah, have a good night, Will.